Imagine discovering that your thoughts, behaviors, and even your personality might be partly controlled by microscopic organisms living inside you. This isn't science fiction. It's the startling reality explored in This Is Your Brain on Parasites. The natural world is filled with mind-controlling parasites that hijack their hosts' nervous systems with surgical precision. From ants forced to climb grass blades to be eaten by sheep, to rats that lose their fear of cats, these manipulations aren't random accidents, but carefully orchestrated behavioral modifications that ensure parasite survival. What's most unsettling? Humans aren't immune to this manipulation. These invisible puppeteers may be influencing everything from our daily decisions to our cultural institutions, challenging our most fundamental assumptions about free will and identity. The natural world's most impressive manipulators are microscopic parasites with remarkable precision. The jewel wasp delivers a targeted sting to a cockroach's brain, eliminating its escape instinct. The zombified roach then follows the wasp to become living food for its offspring. The Ophiocordyceps fungus forces infected ants to climb a sapling at solar noon, move to the northwestern side of a leaf, and clamp onto the main vein. The fungus locks the ant's jaw in place, then sprouts from its head after death, releasing spores in a position optimized for dispersal. These parasites target specific neural pathways for precise behavioral changes. Hairworms produce chemicals making crickets leap into water, while the Leucochloridium flatworm transforms snails' eye stalks into pulsating, colorful bands resembling caterpillars, perfect targets for birds, the parasite's final host. Most remarkable is how these microscopic organisms can speak the neurochemical language of creatures thousands of times their size, manipulating complex behaviors with surgical precision. Toxoplasma gondii, a single-celled parasite that sexually reproduces only in cats, has infected roughly 30% of humans worldwide. Evolutionary biologist Yaroslav Flegger's research reveals it causes more than just brief flu-like symptoms. Infected people show gender-specific personality changes. Men become more rebellious and suspicious, while women become more rule-following and sociable. Both sexes experience slower reaction times. More alarmingly, infected individuals are 2.7 times more likely to have traffic accidents, potentially causing as many as 1 million road deaths a year. When fluorescently tagged, the parasite's cysts appear scattered throughout infected brains. Toxoplasma contains genes for dopamine production, with infected neurons producing 3.5 times more dopamine. It forms hundreds of cysts in regions like the hypothalamus that regulate sex hormones, disrupting neurotransmitter balances. People with schizophrenia are 2 to 3 times more likely to have toxoplasma antibodies. While schizophrenia has genetic components, the genes most consistently linked to the condition govern immune responses to infections, suggesting parasites may trigger mental illness in genetically susceptible individuals. We celebrate the brain as human intellect's seat, but evidence suggests our behavior is governed both from the top down and bottom up. The first major census of our microbial tenants revealed over 100 trillion organisms within us, 10 times the number of human cells, with 150 times more genetic material. Simply put, 90% of you isn't actually you. These microbes produce virtually every major neurotransmitter affecting our emotions, potentially influencing whether we're happy or sad, anxious or calm. The most compelling evidence comes from germ-free mice raised without gut microbes. Unlike normal mice that eagerly explore, these mice show no natural curiosity. They're oddly fearless, venturing into bright spaces normal mice avoid, and show no distress when separated from mothers. Transferring healthy gut microbiota normalizes many behaviors, but only if done before 4 weeks of age. After that critical window, transplants have no effect, suggesting early life microbiota shape brain development. In a groundbreaking UCLA study, women who consumed probiotic yogurt for 4 weeks showed subdued activity in emotion processing regions during MRI scans, making them less reactive to negative emotions. Our gut microbes significantly impact weight and appetite. Bacteria-free mice have 60% less body fat despite eating 30% more food because they can't properly digest it. Microbes regulate hunger hormones like ghrelin, stimulates appetite, and leptin, suppresses it. Jeffrey Gordon's research revealed different gut bacterial compositions in fat versus thin mice and humans. In twin studies, mice receiving bacteria from obese twins gained weight, while those with bacteria from thin twins remained slim. When housed together, bacteria from thin twins overtook the obese bacteria, causing fat mice to lose weight, but only on low-fat diets. High-fat diets prevented the slimming bacteria from establishing dominance. Thin mice have more diverse gut microbiomes. Though these bacteria extract more calories from food, they produce metabolites that suppress appetite and increase energy expenditure, helping thin mice burn excess calories while eating less. Modern trends have reduced our microbiome diversity. C-section births, formula feeding, smaller families, improved hygiene, and antibiotic overuse. Children prescribed multiple antibiotic courses were 3 pounds heavier by age 15 than those never treated, with effects accumulating over time. Disgust evolved as protection against disease. Humans universally avoid filthy, slimy, smelly, sticky, wriggling things that signal infection risk. This intuitive microbiology serves as a defense mechanism, with disgust expressions consistent across cultures. Women display greater disgust sensitivity than men, likely because female ancestors needed to protect both themselves and children, possibly explaining women's higher rates of OCD, phobias, and mood disorders. At its core, disgust functions as an existential shield, helping us cope with mortality awareness by making us recoil from decomposition. This emotion influences moral judgments. People at dirty desks judge moral transgressions more harshly than those at clean ones. When reminded of infection threats, individuals become more conventional and judgmental, gravitating toward time-tested practices. Political attitudes shift when we feel susceptible to disease. Subjects near hand sanitizers express more conservative opinions across moral, fiscal, and social issues. Those easily disgusted consistently hold more conservative views on crime, sexuality, and authority. Sociologists have documented a global cultural divide: individualism in North America and Europe versus collectivism in Eastern and Equatorial regions. In 2007, biologists Randy Thornhill and Corey Fincher proposed that collectivist cultures predominate in parasite-rich equatorial areas. Research confirmed people in historically infection-heavy regions displayed more introversion, less novelty-seeking, and restricted sexual behaviors, all traits of collectivism. This parasite stress model of sociality held true even within the United States, where collectivistic attitudes correlated with higher infectious disease rates in southern states. Their research suggests parasite stress influences more than collectivism, potentially explaining democracy versus dictatorship, religiosity, gender equality, and warfare patterns. Countries with severe parasite stress were more likely ruled by dictators and showed pronounced gender inequality, while nations with minimal infectious disease demonstrated more equitable wealth distribution and stronger individual rights. These invisible influences challenge our understanding of autonomy. From parasites altering risk perception to gut bacteria shaping moods, our decisions emerge from a complex interplay between conscious minds and organisms that evolved alongside us. This understanding doesn't diminish our humanity, but enriches it, revealing our interconnectedness with nature and challenging us to develop a more nuanced conception of identity.